Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Hey guys, King Baby Duck here, and welcome to another edition of our one-on-one interview series. Last week, I was invited to check out an event at the Microsoft Nerd Building in Cambridge, Massachusetts, known as Playcrafting Boston. This is a little get-together held every season where developers from the area come around and show off what they are working on. There were 30 different games being showcased, but of course it's impossible to check out all of them in a 3-hour period, so I did what I could, and I found this event to be a great success. As it can be tough for us at the Electric Sisterhood to attend various gaming conventions across the globe, these local events are a great way to catch a glimpse on some of the hard-working and up-and-coming developers in the Boston gaming industry. At the event, I was able to sit down and chat with 4 great developers about the titles they're working on. The first game you'll hear about is Cult Quiet Collaborative's Hollow Beat, a Zelda-inspired adventure game where you play as a woman suffering from depression as she treads through an alternative world of hers trying to crawl out of her funk. A truly mesmerizing game if you haven't checked it out yet. Next, I'll be sitting down with Kyle Seeley as we turn the clock back with his AOL Instant Messenger-inspired visual novel, Emily is Away. Then Mark Mayers shares his developing experience with his Portal and Metroid Prime-inspired first-person adventure, Desolus. Finally, Justin Pappas of ApeLaw talks about the anticipated horror game Albino Lullaby, which is one hell of a scary experience if you haven't seen it yet. So, let's get this special underway with our one-on-one interview special, Playcrafting Boston, Spring 2015 Edition. Alright folks, right now I am being joined by the two Wills from the Cult Quiet Collaborative who are showing up a brand new game. First of all, tell us a little bit about Cult Quiet Collaborative.
Sure, so we're a student-run organization, very independent, founded about 5 months ago. We're all students from local Boston area schools who are interested in games that have social impact, basically games for change, games with meaning or purpose.
So, this new game that you're creating, what was it called again?
It's called Hollow Beat.
Hollow Beat, which is based a little bit on Legend of Zelda, but it deals with people with clinical depression. So, where did the idea for this come to be?
So, I'm a huge Zelda fan, and I grew up with my Game Boy Color playing top-down Zelda games there, and, as a game design major in college, I just constantly think about how I can take the experiences that I enjoyed as a child and make them more meaningful and more purposeful to reach a greater audience. So I started off with this idea of creating a top-down Zelda-style game, and I thought, how can I give this meaning? How can I create a game with social impact that might actually change people's lives for the better?
So why the focus on clinical depression for Hollow Beat? What made this disability or
mental illness? Right.
Sorry. What made this mental illness feel appropriate for a Zelda-based video game?
Great. The moment that just happened now. So we're trying to present a nuanced view of mental illness, specifically clinical depression. Mm-hmm. Bringing it to a wider audience and presenting our protagonist named Kay, her deal with depression, how she manages and copes with it.
Mm.
You know, I have a few friends who have gone through clinical depression, some form of depression, and for those who actually do have this sort of mental illness, how do you feel that they will take a game like Hollow Beat?
Hollow Beat's not meant to be prescriptive. It's meant to be a slice of life of this character. Her whole arc is about managing and coping with depression. Again, not prescriptive, so she cannot solve it. It's that she finds strategies to cope and manage. Within Hollow Beat, we use a lot of mechanics as metaphor, which is to say we design game mechanics around feelings that we want the player to have. I'm the narrative designer, so I'm in charge of the story and the dialogue and how the player should feel during the game. So I work with the developers and I work with composers to try and find the right emotions that we want for either a scene or an encounter or a dialogue.
And I do want to point out, it sounded really great. I like that sort of atmosphere that the game has given off. So it's a very sad feeling that you get while you're playing it, as you try to figure out where this character is coming from, what she's going through, and hopefully finding a way to try and solve this problem and get her out of this depression.
Right.
One game that came to mind while I was playing this, even beforehand, I was talking about one called Continue 9876543210, which dealt with what happens when a video game character dies. And this one, instead of hopefully not death being the result of it, hopefully life will be the true path that this character will go through or will get to. So how did you decide, okay, we should focus on this part of the clinical depression, or this section? What made you decide on how to go about telling this sort of story?
Right. So we have a psychologist on our team who's also an undergraduate student. And
psychology student.
Yeah. He likes to call himself that.
The future psychologist of America.
So, you know, he gave us the idea that the game needs to be uplifting, but at the same time, not optimistic, but at the same time, not romantic, not like an 80s montage.
Or a Hamlet.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to make depression sound like a very romantic thing. It's a very serious thing that many people go through, and it's something that it shouldn't be romanticized. It should be taken very seriously.
Exactly.
And that's that nuanced view that we're going for by making this game.
It's very cool. So I did notice that you guys are going for Kickstarter in July. So what can you tell us about the Kickstarter, when it's going to start up and such?
So that's actually pre-updated information. Our
next July.
Our very optimistic predecessors back in March, our past selves thought that this game would be created a lot more quickly than it in fact is coming together.
They did not imagine a future so dark.
So right now we're in about the fifth month of production, and we're planning to work on the game for about another 12 months before launching a crowdfunding campaign.
Okay, fair enough. So my apologies for our listeners who are just hoping to jump on a Kickstarter. You're going to have to wait until next year for that.
My train is very far away. That's because we're trying to build a vertical slice of the game. We're trying to make it the most perfect snapshot before we send it out into the wild. And here we are with a controlled test. We're learning stuff even at this event.
So tell us a little bit on what you've learned from this event.
Aside from honing our pitch down, we are learning people's feedback on dialogue systems, mechanics within the game. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think the game is fun, and that is purposeful, right? Yeah. This is a game about we're making people feel a way that is akin to someone with depression.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not in line with what a lot of people come to a gaming event to experience.
It's no fun.
And so, we realize that we're bucking conventions to some degree, but a big part of our design philosophy is balancing, entertainment and engagement with, things that are true to the experience. And that's always going to be a struggle for us, but we believe that, if this is a spectrum, there's always middle ground.
Absolutely, and it's a game that... you say it's not fun But I feel like it's a game where people are going to really appreciate what they accomplish as they dig deeper into
right.
it.
Yes, it's an art piece in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you two so much for joining me here on One-on-One. For more information, where can people find out about Hollow Beat?
Twitter is probably the best place right now. You can follow us.
At Cult Quiet?
Yes.
CultQuiet.
Excellent. So guys, thank you. Best of luck with the rest of the event. And hopefully we'll hear more about this sometime next year. And
it's
a really very unique experience. I'm trying not to say the word cool because I don't think that's an appropriate word to use to talk about.
It's cool. Hey, I think it's cool.
Okay.
I see cool. My mom thinks it's cool. Well, thank you for having us.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Larry made his nest up in the autumn branches, built from nothing but high hopes and thin air. He collected up some baby blasted mothers, they took their chances, and for a while they lived quite happily up there.
Right now I'm being joined by Mr. Kyle Seeley, who is showing off a very interesting game called Emily Is Way. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Now let me tell you something about Emily Is Way. What a way to make me relive my high school years on AOL Instant Messenger, talking to a couple girls that I really liked, and only to have my heart broken when I find out they have boyfriends.
Well, the story's only half complete, so you don't know. You don't know where it's going to go, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know where it's going to go. So where did the idea for Emily Is Away come from? Was it based on something that you yourself went through in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much my childhood. The aesthetic is definitely what I remember doing when I was in high school, right? Coming home from high school and going on AAM and talking to girls and stuff. And the story itself is inspired by more recent years, more recent experiences with coming out of college and just kind of the realization of as you grow up, you kind of grow away from old things and old memories, but they're still memories and that's fine.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way because it's like you go from high school to college and then into the real world. And you know what? And it's difficult because you have all these friends that you had back in high school and college, and while you do have like Facebook and everything to really keep in touch with them, you don't really have really the chance to literally catch up with them.
Yeah, I really want to explore the idea of this filter that progresses as you get older, this emotional filter that you kind of barrier that you put between people so you don't get hurt, right? In high school, the early years of high school, you were so emotionally charged and just like you would talk to anyone for hours on AIM, for example, and then as you get older, you kind of just don't want to see people, you don't want to talk to people, and so I kind of want to play with that mechanic.
So, you're going through your last year, your last year in high school, into college. How does the story change as it progresses, or is it going to be one of the situations where whatever your choices are made here are going to affect how the story is going to be told?
Yeah, so all the story is entirely dialogue choice based, so whatever your decisions are that affects subsequent years, and you can kind of see that in the first 2 years, but there's going to be 3 more years added for release, and you'll really see how your choices impact the story.
So I mentioned, I noticed that you have some music references in here, Coldplay, Snow Patrol. Were these artists that you yourself grew up liking and decided to put in there, or was it past loves?
I mean, yeah, they're definitely artists that I myself liked and that my friends liked and that girls that I liked. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep everything factually correct. So you play in 2002, all the references to the music that's coming out in 2002, the movies, everything is correct and real. And I really want that to go forward through the 5 years to kind of like let you put the year into perspective, right? Because to say like, oh, do you remember when Pirates of the Caribbean came out? That came out in 2003. Like, people know events more than they know numbers, right?
Yeah, right. Because I know it's like when you choose your icon, it's like, all right, in 2002, I kind of liked Eminem. There's Eminem right there. I choose that as my icon. And then 2003, ooh, there's Kill Bill. I guess that'll be my icon now.
Right, yep.
So my question is, because Instant Messenger kind of dies out a couple years down the line, will that be shown in the game as well? Is it going to always be AOL Instant Messenger, or is it going to be another form of dialogue in a different way?
So it really depends on the scope of what I want to do and put in this project. There's been thoughts of turning it into Skype later on or Facebook chat as to be like factually correct. Mm-hmm. And there's other thoughts of just keeping it in AIM and having that kind of like it getting outdated and it getting kind of like unusable because it's like, well, I don't want to be doing this for 5 years straight. And that can kind of play and be a metaphor for the story as well. So,
So when are you expecting to complete Emily Is Away?
It's going to come out fall this year.
So, will it be PC, Mac, Linux, or what are you hoping to put it on?
I'm going to definitely say PC, Mac, and Linux, and I'm also hoping for iOS.
Very cool. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us here on One-on-One. Emily Is Away. Where can more people find more information on this game?
There's my website, kyleseely.com/Emily Is Away.
Excellent. Dude, Kyle, thank you so much. Best of luck with the rest of this event, and I look forward to seeing how this game turns out.
Thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Joined right now by Mark Mayers, who is showing off his video game Desolus. Welcome to 101. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Desolus, because it's a very, very free-roaming, adventurous-looking title.
So Desolus is kind of like a combination between Metroid Prime and Portal. You explore this crazy alien castle called the Desolus and control a black hole to absorb and transfer energy between stars.
So you talk about Metroid Prime and Portal. Like, how did those two games influence the style of this video game?
So those are two games that I really love. I really like the design of Portal, where it kind of doesn't really give you explicit guidance of how to solve a puzzle, and there's a lot of abstract thinking involved. And I also really like the world and design of Metroid Prime, and it's just kind of evolution of mechanics and exploration aspects.
Well, I do love how beautiful the world looks in here. I just want to just traverse through the whole thing from beginning to end. How did you decide upon the visual style of Desolus?
Well, the visuals were almost kind of an accident. Like, I was really just playing with colors and terrain and a bunch of different aspects for development, and I just kind of came across the style that people seem to like and that I really enjoy, so it's really interesting.
Cool. Well, sometimes the best ideas come from accidents. I mean, look at how penicillin was discovered.
Yeah, I was about to mention penicillin, actually. I think how that was a total accident.
So, I know that you free roam, you don't, you're not even told what you got to do in this game. You got to figure it out for yourself. But what do you hope will be the ultimate goal of this game?
Definitely just to take away an experience of being in this environment and just exploring and having that sense of wonder of just discovering these places and new abilities and a bunch of different sights to see.
So tell us a little bit about the powers that you learn, that you discover throughout Desolus.
So the first ability is that of blue energy that you absorb, which creates particles in the environment. So you transfer it between alive stars and dead stars. When you absorb energy from alive stars and transfer them to dead stars, it will permanently activate something in the environment. So in the case of blue energy, it will create bridges in which you can walk across. There's also red energy, which will subtract barriers from the environment, so it's almost like kind of a lock and key mechanism. There's also other types of energy, like orange energy, which gives you a jumping ability, and purple energy, which gives you a super speed run ability. So there's a bunch of different aspects in this puzzle game that evolve as the game progresses.
Very nice. So how big of a world have you designed Desolus to be?
It's a pretty big world. I mean, it's as much as a single person can do, almost. A lot of it I can get away with because the design is kind of procedural in how I generate the terrain. So what I do is when I sculpt the environments, so I have something that will create erosion on the terrain, so it looks a lot more realistic than by doing it by hand. So that definitely saves a lot of development time.
Very cool. So How far along has production been for Desolace? How much longer do you think it'll be before you fully complete it?
I've been working on this since about October, and that was mostly before that I was messing around with the game engine, which is in Unity. And I've been doing a lot in terms of like just developing the general aesthetics of the environment and the mechanics of the game and whatnot, and I've been playtesting a lot to further improve the game. I would say it's about 30% done, even though I've been working on it for about like 6 months to a year, so I probably still have about like 2 years left of development.
Very interesting. Well, hopefully it'll be completed. What are you hoping to release it on? PC, Mac, Linux, any consoles, hopefully?
I'm probably going to do a PC release just for now, but I might expand to consoles like Xbox One or PS4 in the future.
Very cool. Mark, thank you so much for joining me here on One on One. Desolace, from our listeners, where can more people find information on it?
Sure, it's desolace.com, D-E-S-O-L-U-S, and you can also follow me on Twitter at desolacedev, Desolace D-E-V.
Excellent. Mark, thank you again. Best of luck with the rest of this event, and hopefully we'll run into each other at a future PAX or even E3 one day.
Absolutely, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nightmare has returned, known as Albino Lullaby, created by 8Law, and I am joined by...
Justin Pappas.
Welcome to One on One, and first of all, congratulations on getting the Kickstarter successfully for Albino Lullaby. How did it feel to actually get that to your first goal?
So awesome. It let us know that A, we could travel with the game, we could show it off, and that B, that people liked it and were interested in it and sort of get behind what we were doing.
Now, Albino Lullaby takes more of the horror into the realm of, say, Hitchcock, am I correct?
Absolutely. It's more of a Lynchian, Hitchcockian psychological nightmare. It's about the atmosphere, the suspense, the tension, the grandchildren.
Yes, the grandchildren, these creepy sort of head creatures that just go towards you slowly, slowly.
They're coming for you, man.
They are coming for you indeed, and that's why I like about the scares in here, because you try to escape as fast as you can, but sometimes you find yourself cornered, and when they come closer and closer, the inevitability of your doom just jumps right out you.
One grandchild is not too much of a threat. They move really slow. You can get away from them. But when they start to team up and sort of try to surround you, things get a little bit more hairy.
Now, for our listeners who are confused right now about why we're calling them grandchildren or grandchild, tell us a bit about the story behind Albino Lullaby.
I don't want to give too much of it away. Our game is pretty much all about the narrative, but there's no cutscenes, there's no extensive reading, you don't have to know all this backstory to get into it. The environment is our main character, so simply by exploring the environment, you uncover its true nature, its history. At the very beginning, I can tell you this, at the very beginning, you get in a car accident, and it's you. You're not playing as some other character, you're not some action hero, it's you. You get in a car accident and you wake up in this weird prison. The floor starts to move, there's these green bubbles, and it's up to you to sort of figure out where the heck you are, how you got there, and how you're going to get out.
Now, initially, the game was going to be... Is the game still going to be episodic?
Yes. We have 3 episodes. We're releasing the first episode at the end of August. That's going to be on Steam. Each episode runs about 3 to 6 hours long. Each episode will have sort of a concise ending, kind of like Star Wars movies. But in the end, we'll all connect to sort of form a larger narrative.
Very interesting. So I noticed that, well, I did it back at Boston Fig. I know she's doing it with the Oculus Rift. Can you talk about how important the immersion of this game is when it comes to the virtual reality?
I'm not going to lie. It is awesome in virtual reality. You don't need an Oculus headset to play it. It's great without it. It's still very immersive. You put on those headphones, you can be completely transported, especially if you're the type of person that likes this kind of game. But with an Oculus, it's just, you know, unmatched immersion. I mean, you're really in it. The world surrounds you. It's very easy to forget that it's not real. Our game wasn't originally designed to work with the Oculus, but we had sort of begun some early prototypes, and our design philosophies worked well with the Oculus, so we sort of jumped whole hog onto that bandwagon, that awesome, flaming, cool bandwagon.
Yeah, I remember when I first got to try out the Oculus a couple years ago at E3, every time I see it, I just want to jump right back into it, because it's just so amazing that they finally were able to get the technology right.
I know, it is now the future. This is the future. We're in it. Absolutely. The 80s future.
The future of Kung Fury.
Yeah. With the Lamborghinis.
So, with Albino Lullaby, what I like about this game, it's the right kind of horror that would be fitting for Oculus. It doesn't have that jump scare, so you don't have to worry about having like a heart attack or
It'd
something.
Be a little too intense, yeah.
Yeah. So, for our listeners out there who weren't able to donate to the Kickstarter, convince these guys why you should jump into Albino Lullaby when it comes out this August.
Oh, geez, that's tough. If you like horror and you like sort of if you like games that leave you with something when you're done with it, if you're the type of gamer to sort of look below the surface of what you're seeing and sort of try to glean greater meaning from a game world, Albino Lullaby is for you. I think I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a number of things we're doing in this game that you haven't seen in any game before ever. An example would be maybe some of the rooms in the mansion that can move and rotate and disconnect to reveal dangerous gears behind them and fires and things like that. You really never know if the ground under your feet is secure in Albino Lullaby, and that's sort of an interesting experience.
Ooh. So it's coming out on PC. Is it going to be coming out on Mac, Linux, anything, other systems, any console?
Yep, it's going to be coming out on PC, and soon after that, PS4 and Xbox One.
Excellent. Justin, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. Albino Lullaby. For more information, please go to albinolullaby.com. This game is scary as hell, and I can't wait to jump into more of it.
All right, thanks, man. And you can get the soundtrack and the demo at our website as well.
Fantastic. So you guys don't have an excuse to not even try it, okay? Please go to albinolullaby.com and give this game a whirl. You will not be disappointed.
Please do. Thanks, man.